Griffin has something he would like to talk about in the intro, Justin.
I don't know if it'll be funny or not. It's just like the only thing I can think about, the only thing I want to do is listen to Carly Rae Jepsen's new album.
Okay.
And I don't think it's going to be like really funny. In fact, I think it'll probably be like kind of weird. Like I think it'll be off-putting for people to hear me talk about this album.
Okay, well, I mean, if you think it'll be a good bit.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it'll be a good bit. It's just like I want to bring a realness to this episode, and for me, like it get any realer than emotion.
We gotta start now.
I thought we started.
But we have to say our names and shit first.
No, we don't have to, do we?
It's 266. We can't switch up convention now.
All right, let her rip.
The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you want it? Just say, hey, I wanna. Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hi, I'm Justin McElroy, and you've just plugged into the podcast.
I'm Travis McElroy, and welcome to the ether.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, and do cyborgs dream of electric sheep? Is that the way
this is? This is my brother made advice show for the modern era. We said that. Welcome to the show. So what album is everybody listening to right now? Griffin, you go first.
Okay, but I want to be the only thing that we talk about. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about your two albums.
I was gonna say Fall Out Boy. Is that okay?
Oh, is that true?
Listen, a lot of people have been giving me a lot of shit. Have you ever actually listened?
Yeah.
It's really good.
Add me
really
to,
good. American Beauty, American Psycho is an amazing album.
Add me to the pile, my dude.
And what were, Ed Griffin, just to clarify, what were you going to say?
I don't want to come at the discussion like this. Can we start over? Because I need you guys to be, like, you're not going to...
I just want to say we are too huge to alienate anybody. My brother and me, from this point forward, loves everybody, especially power players in the entertainment industry. We're looking for connections and networking wherever it is available.
If we could get Fall Out Boy on the show, that would be a huge get.
I love the people, Fall Out Boy. You can love the sinner but hate the sin. You know what I mean? I've been listening to Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion. I think that's how it's pronounced because there's like a little dot
is it a mathematical formula like E equals M to the O of Shun?
Uh-huh. And that's how the chorus of her hit single goes. E to the M equals O Shun. It's probably the worst song on the album. And in fact, I wish that they hadn't titled the album Emotion.
Only 7 seconds long.
Yeah.
And it's kind of meandering.
And she doesn't even sing. And she's got a beautiful voice.
That's the song that activates all the Canadian sleeper agents.
Oh yeah,
it's
sure.
Kind of like a rap CD where it's like an improv track, right? Like kind of a comedy track.
Yeah, she does a bit there, and Jamie Foxx shows up and does the bit also. And then there are a few bits that her and Jamie Foxx do throughout the album, and they're really good. There's not a bad goof on the album. There's not a bad improv track on the album. Again, I can't stress this enough. Not going to be funny. Me talking about this album. It's just.
But you thought it was very important to you.
Nobody's like, talking
to
about
get
it. Nobody's
it out of your system.
Have you heard the album? Either of you? Nobody knows. Nobody's listening to this album. I feel like I'm just like running through the streets screaming her name, and it's falling on deaf ears. Nobody
Everyone's
gives a
so
shit.
Everyone's so busy talking about the Republican primaries. You know what I mean? No one's talking about Carly Rae Jepsen's album. Let's talk about the real stuff.
Well, okay, but if you're gonna pull that card, nobody's talking about the Republican primaries anyway. Everybody's talking about Donald Trump, and I'm Carly Rae Jepsen's the opposite of Donald Trump in every conceivable way. She is a pure being of light.
I remember it was the summer of 20-something, and Travis told us, guys, this is the new shit.
Yeah.
This is the new heat. And I did not believe him. And then literally 2 weeks later, Call Me Maybe was the only song I could hear on the radio. It was the only song available for download on iTunes. They cleared the table on every other song. It was the only song on the radio. and it was everywhere.
I tend to have a pretty good finger on the pulse of what's going to be the summer jam.
Yeah,
it was Call Me Maybe, and it was Blurred Lines, and it was Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
And these are the summer jams, people.
Blurred Lines.
Is there one this... Ugh. Sydney was trying to figure out if there was a summer jam this year.
That's the thing, there hasn't...
It was Uptown Funk. It was Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk was released in like January. What are you fucking talking about?
No, it was the slow build, but it was the summer jam.
The summer jam this year was Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who. And it was a really super slow build, but it really took off this year.
Is Uptown Funk the one with like, Don't Believe Me, Just Watch?
Yeah.
Is that like the one that's in
which
like...
Which is way more fun to say, please don't look at my crotch. If it's way better, it's way more fun.
He only wrote that song to license it to network promos. Like, the only reason that song exists is because, like, so ABC and NBC and CBS will be, like, lining up
all these shows you must watch.
No, you don't have to change it. Like, it's literally just like, we got a great summer of hits for you. NCIS is back. We've got Perfect Strangers, too. Don't Believe Me, Just Watch. It's a sequel to Perfect Strangers.
I don't believe you. And I will watch, of course. Guys, I just want to get in my guest bathroom, which is the only room in my house without a window, just turn the lights off and just sit in absolute darkness and put my headphones on and just let Jepsen carry me away.
Cut some lilies, let them float on the bathtub waters, a little lavender.
No, I don't want my sense of smell distracting me from my sense of hearing. I just want to hear the music.
You just want to get a sensory deprivation chamber and float in Jepsen.
Yes.
Just get whisked away.
I want to go on a Carly Rae voyage into myself.
This is an advice show, basically. You want? I will say, though, full disclosure, Griffin did warn us that talking about Carly Rae Jepsen's new album would not be funny. He said that before we started.
Yeah. Well, and that was on the podcast. You guys don't know this, but I included that.
Oh, okay. Good.
What's your guys'
favorite
song?
Before the music? That would be a twist.
What's your favorite song on the album?
Uptown Funk.
On Carly Rae Jepsen's new album, Emotion?
Emotion.
I like that Justice remix.
What?
Where they remixed that one song with Justice. And I think Dizzy Rascal did the original. And then it was on Carly Rae Jepsen's album. You know Dizzy Rascal rented out a track of Carly Rae Jepsen's new album? Did you know Dizzy Rascal is subletting track number 7 on Carly Rae Jepsen's new album just to get out to the people?
She wasn't going to use it.
No, she wasn't going to use... She said, I was just going to put another Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx had this bit where he was going to be a very old Jesus named Geezus, sort of like Geezer.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't really think it was that funny, so she let Dizzy Rascal sublet the track.
Yeah. Track 7, of course, is Making the Most of the Night. And that one's a club banger. Like, that would be a good... That would actually... I could see Dizzy doing some really dope shit with that. Should we get on to the questions? I feel like...
I would give anything.
Yeah.
I would pay any price.
You have that power.
Yeah, I can do it. I can just do it. I have a friend that's been recently driving me off the wall. He, for some owner... That's another album that Carly Rae Jepsen's new album is better than. It's better than Michael Jackson's Off the Wall.
Absolutely.
He, for some unknown reason, has... all of a sudden started using the word mate when addressing someone when he speaks.
Oh, God.
As if he came back from a life-changing year-long expedition in the wilds of Australia and has adopted the language. He clearly isn't Australian. He's clearly Canadian. If I have to hear him call me mate one more time, this friendship is going down under. I felt like Casey Kasem, and now another one going.
Oh, that's because it's because you're talking exactly like Casey Kasem for some reason.
That would do it every time. Maybe it's from the group of guys he games with online. Maybe they're all Australian, and he's trying to fit in. How can I make him realize the error of his ways, brothers? That's a frustrated Frexican in. Fuckway.
Fuckway, I believe.
Fuckway.
I don't think it's Fuckway.
It's probably not Fuckway.
Hi, I'm Gordon. I'm Gordon Fuckway, and this is the Alf reboot. It's a very sexual Alf reboot.
It stands for Alien I'd Like to Fuck.
My name is Dalf. What does that even mean? I'm a mouth.
It's not TV. It's HBO.
Yeah, and it's raw. So this is the worst possible thing.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for this. It's probably the worst affect, and there are a lot of really bad affectations you just start doing for some reason. This one's the worst. Maybe your friend some sort of researcher trying to find the worst possible affectation because he found it.
And what makes it double worse is that there's no at least if he had come back from like a 2-week vacation in Australia, then you're like, oh, you're trying. But with no basis for it, it's just this like amorphous blob, mysterious worst.
Have you guys ever had an affectation that was really hard to shake?
Oh, man.
That you're embarrassed to admit?
Definitely,
right?
I mean, I still do it.
When I went to the UK for my honeymoon, I came back saying cheers a lot. Like, cheers. Like just as a standard greeting or goodbye or whatever. Just say cheers a lot.
One time I was out at a Japanese restaurant with some friends, and I said kanpai when our drinks came, and I fucking vomited, just projectile vomited, just knowing that in the future I would look back on that moment in such a deep, deep cosmic shame.
Bloody snuck its way into my vocab for a while after that, too.
No, it couldn't. It couldn't possibly.
It did. I'm not proud to admit it, but it did. It snuck in there. I'm not saying, like, we should be clear here. I'm not judging, we're not judging, like, the actual affect, like the actual like slang and accents of another nation, that is fine.
Yeah,
like you, that's everybody theirs. Has their thing. It's the appropriation of it.
Yeah,
can co-opting.
You do, yeah, can you do it for so long though that you own it? Like if this person says mate for so long, eventually you'll forget this the impetus, right? The first thing. Like if I just start answering the phone every time anybody calls me, like moshi moshi. But I do that for like 6 years. Do you think it'll stop being
weird? You'll become the guy who's known for doing it because he's terrible.
But then it's still.
I think it would retroactively shape you in a way that you couldn't recover from. Like I think you could stick in your craw, but like a grain of sand in an oyster shell, you eventually would form a pearl of being terrible around it, around the irritant.
I think that when your friend does this, you need to shake an empty pop can full of pennies at him.
No. Hey, no.
Shake the no-no can.
Or
have you said anything? Is it does he know? Like,
oh, he knows.
We've noticed and we hate it.
He knows. Justin earlier said that the word bloody snuck into his vocab. It didn't sneak into shit. It didn't put a cardboard box over itself and then like worm its way into your brain. You sat there thinking like, okay, here it comes. God, I hope this works. Yeah, bloody well right, huh? And everybody looked at you.
You do it the first time, then it's like, oh,
that wasn't so bad.
Felt kind of good.
Hey, nobody said anything. It's not because nobody said anything. Because they were like terrified. It was the word. They love you so much, and they're terrified that this is just going to be you now.
Yeah, that's just going to be the person they know. I don't know how you write this ship. I don't know.
If you call him out once, it's going to be really hard for you. But he will never do it again, right? If Sydney looked at you and said, "Justin, you sound completely like a clown when you just said bloody just then. You sounded like an idiot clown child."
Might I suggest? A full-on, like, to catch a predator moment, right, where you're at a party, and I know this isn't how it happens in To Catch a Predator. It would be really weird if it was, but you're at a party. He says, mate, you lay your hand on his shoulder, and you say, hey, can I talk to you in the kitchen? And you take him in and go, I just want to break down what just happened there. You did this thing. Everybody thought you sounded dumb. Do you really want to walk back into that room right now and say it again? Just think about that before you come back in. I'll be in the living room.
And then you walk please back don't. In. Like, yeah, you're basically grounding him.
Yeah.
From conversation. Like, hey, flyboy, I'm taking away your license. You're on probation.
I want you to really think about what you did before you re-enter humanity.
Can you adopt an even more obscure Australian affectation?
Let me throw this out. Crikey.
Well, that's not really even more obscure. I was thinking like...
No one's at maybe a shrimp on the Barbie?
Nope. I was thinking...
Oh it's a God. Little thing.
I was thinking like, well, that's a knife. But like completely out of completely out of context.
That wasn't the line.
Well, there's a knife.
He didn't see someone with a knife and just identify it as a knife.
Is that a knife? Oh, it's a knife, isn't it?
Hey, hold that right there. That's a hand, isn't it?
Oi, it's a bloody knife. Bob's your uncle.
You've solved the crime, Crocodile Dundee.
What was the murder weapon?
It's a knife?
Knife?
Yeah, there were stab wounds. That seems really likely. Good work. NCIS Dundee. I don't think they'd call it NCIS Dundee. They'd probably call it NCIS Australia. Do you guys know Yahoo?
Sure, yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by Level 9000, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Drew Answers user. They're anonymous. We'll call them Mockadile Dundee. They asked in the category Society and Culture Etiquette. I want to join a local biker gang, but I don't care about bikes. Should I be upfront about this, or would it be wiser to pretend?
So walk me through...
It was two sentences. How did you get lost?
No. How that first interaction went... Hello, fellows. I like your lifestyle.
Hello.
I do not care about these metal things.
Hi there, my two-wheeled compatriots.
Hail and well met. You have a place for a Subaru to park?
I can take all the bags and the cooler and stuff.
That is true. When they have beach day... You are going to be quite prized.
They can't put those folding chairs on the back of them motorbikes.
They're going to be so stoked about your Honda Fit and all its roomy, back seat.
I can't wait. I just ordered some new handlebars for my Harvey Danielson. It's a Harvey Danielson good bike, and it's from their 2010 good bike model, which is an antique at this point, and I have new handlebars coming for it. And they pop off like the handlebars in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So if any of you road dogs tries to yank my grip off and make me get a road rash, then the handlebar will come right off in your hand, and I will cruise off in my Harvey Danielson unscathed. No road rashes here.
How long could you keep the grip going? Like, well, my happy again, guys. My motorcycle that I own, Vroom Queen, she's in the shop again. Gosh, man.
My motorcycle got arrested. I don't know what I can tell you.
I guess I get Vroom Queen out of hock. And, you know, because I sold her for biker drugs. And now I am without wheels.
And let me say once more, I am not a cop.
Not a cop.
I want to tell everybody I appreciate your ride, your offer of a ride to the motor meetings, and I just want to tell you, it's not that I'm afraid of motorcycles very, very, very much, but it's just that hemorrhoids.
I have to point out, they're not afraid of motorcycles. They just don't give a shit. Ugh, these guys and their bikes. I love the people, and I love the community. I love, like... What do biker gangs do?
I loved watching Sons of Anarchy. Like, that's what it is. Yeah. Like, it's that. It's like, I watch Sons of Anarchy. I want to do crime. I want to hate other races. Yeah. I don't want to invest in a motorcycle right now.
I want to lean over pool tables a lot. I feel like that happens in biker gangs. Like, they go to places where there's a pool table. They lean over and then glare at the people that walk in.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Maybe community service. I don't know. There are biker gangs that I'm sure are like... This is more of like an affiliation of like-minded people who also just ride motorcycles, but mostly we're all about like cleaning up the streets and building parks for kids. Who cares? There's a core idea that is we ride motorcycles.
We also, have one thread that binds us, and it's bikes.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we kind of like have to get on the same page with. That is shitty though, if you think about it, that like if you did just... Maybe you just love motorcycles, but, like, you can't afford one. Like, you just can't. You have a kid, you have one car that your car seat fits into, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't afford a motorcycle. You just love the lifestyle.
It's rough.
I bet you can still be in that gang.
I think so, too.
You think
but
so?
But only in that, like, I'm saving up, or do you guys have, like, a spare I can use? Until I can afford my own. Because here's what you want. This is what you do, Justin. You go down to the local junkyard. You buy like an old beat up, like, oh, no one would ever want to ride that motorcycle again. But then you put love into it,
oh,
and you
shit.
Fix it, and you buy stuff like second hand, and you're fixing up. And is it the prettiest motorcycle? No, it's not. In fact, people at the rich kids motorcycle gang, they make fun of you. But those guys down the street that are maybe past their prime, they welcome you in.
They do.
And then at the big motorcycle race,
oh boy,
your motorcycle wins because it's filled with love and magic and nitro.
So this is a spec script then that you've just written for us.
Listen, if somebody would like to pay me for this property.
What's it called? The property?
Real quick. Motorbike.
Motorbike?
Motorbike Good Friends.
Motorbike Good Friends. Okay. I was going to say that's a great title for it.
I would just sit outside with a sidecar and just sit out there with my stupid goggles and my helmet. And when they came out to go do crime or community service or just go to Wendy's, I would just be like, well, who's got room? Who wants the kid today? I'd be like a mascot. You know?
I like that.
I hate to keep putting you guys on the spot, but what would your mascot name be? Because I feel like that's important to the biker gang.
Deadweight. Almost certainly.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. I mean, almost certainly Deadweight.
I tell you how I'd get in good with a biker gang is, other than the fact that I could probably do like more smack than anyone in one go. I've never done smack, but I feel like I'd be really good at it.
That's how you won president of the student body in high school.
That's true. Somebody handed me a big bag of smack. I was like, I bet you can't do all this. I was like, watch me go. Crunch, 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 crunch. I think that's how you do it.
I think slurp, 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 slurp.
How I get into the biker gang is I would have a bike that I fixed up, like Travis said, basically the plot of Motorbike Good Friends. But where I would twist it is instead of filling it with love, I'd fill it with gadgets. Wouldn't that be cool if, like, I did have, like, the handlebars that popped off and I could, like, shoot out an oil slick and I could drop some caltrops?
You're talking about Motorbike Good Friends after the studio notes.
Yeah, yeah. Where they're like, can the
turning
bike...
Turning more of a, like, a chitty-chitty bang-bang.
Now, can the bike talk so we can cast Peter Dinklage as
You know what, Griffin? It's that kind of shit that ruined Motorbike Good Friends 1. I don't want to see it in Motorbike Good Friends 2. It's more of kind of a back to the
Can I say that Motorbike Good Friends 2 sounds like an origin story? Are you rebooting it that quickly?
It's a prequel. It's a prequel sequel.
So hold on. The first movie was like, just a guy on a bike and it was like, don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, where did he get this motorcycle? I wish there was another movie explaining this. I have a foolproof plan for infiltrating the biker gang and endearing myself to them. It is multi-tiered. It is very complex. It is one word, and I'm going to hit you with it now. You ready?
Yes.
Tequila. Like the song? I just do this funny dance on a counter, and then everybody would be like, I'm into it. I like when he points at his wiener, and then also his butt. He's in the gang. And I like his white shoes.
Now, hold on.
I don't think that Pee-wee's actual move was pointing to
think that's why they enjoyed his dance song. Like, I feel like it was just like a fun moment in a kid's movie. I don't think he was like, my dick, my butt, my dick and
watch
dick and butt
scene
and butt.
Again.
I said, my dick, my butt.
Watch that scene again and then travel back in time to the late 80s and see me emulating that scene at home and tell me I'm not pointing at my dick and then my butt, because that's what I thought it was. And I thought that for a long time until 1:30 today, just now, I thought he was pointing. Are you sure he's not pointing at his dick and then his butt?
No,
I'm like 99% sure it's not. He's not doing a dick to
like
butt.
I always thought it was like pointing at his privates, and that's what made it so like.
That would be a weird thing to do in front of a big group of bikers who moments ago were going to kill him.
Yeah, I would love.
So he got up on a bar and said, "Look." My dick and my butt
what,
a lot.
What if in the reboot of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the biker gang at the bar was MS-13, and they were like, is he pointing at his dick? Oh, man, that's great. But then they cut off his head and throw it in the river.
What I'm saying to you right now is I'm looking at the movie. He's pointing at his dick and his butt.
Like, you're watching the scene right now?
That's what he does. He points at his dick and his butt. Like, he's indicating, like, here's my penis, here's my butt. It looks like an instructional video.
For what?
For where the dick and butt is.
Who would? What's the market for that video?
I anatomy classes mainly. Very remedial anatomy classes.
All right, let me check out this video here.
All right, let's watch the tequila dance from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I'll just send you guys a direct link. Set exactly the time code, and you will see. You at home. Just search Pee Wee Tequila on YouTube.
It's just a silly dance. He puts on these weird shoes and does a silly dance on a bar.
He's pointing at his dick, and then after that, his butt. That's what he's doing.
Why would that disarm the gang?
I didn't, because he's making
himself. He is not at all, Justin.
He is definitely pointing, like, dick, dick, butt, butt, dick, dick, butt, butt. That's what he's doing.
If you
he's
mean his he dick is pointing, like, he is pointing.
He's using fists. Hands. There's no extended fingers. Those are his fists. This
video is too low quality to see if they're fingers or not.
He is, like, he's in the general genital area. I agree with you. But he is in no way directly indicating these are my genitals.
He's
oh, wait, I'm watching it now. Appear. I'm watching it now, and he's drawing actually slow concentric circles around his dick. And he's mouthing the words, it's right here, it's right here, it's right here.
Why read?
Oh my god, I'm still watching it. He just pulled his pants down and he's spreading his gaping asshole. Tequila.
My read on the scene is that he's making himself out to be a tantalizing piece of boy flesh.
Yeah.
Too perfect for them to ruin with simple violence for him destroying their motorcycles.
Yeah, he's a primo fuckboy, and they're gonna want to keep him around.
That's what he's saying. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my god, he actually just hold on. Hold on, stop. Stop talking. Yeah, he just said, I'm a primo fuckboy. How have I've watched this movie hundreds of times. How have I not, like, I just, like, glossed over the scene, I guess.
Tequila,
primo fuckboy.
They love it, too. They do. They love it.
All right.
They love it.
Well, he got out of another scrape.
another last-minute scrape.
A lot of life-threatening scrapes that Pee-wee Herman gets out of by exposing his dick and his gaping butthole to perfect strangers.
Listen, I didn't write the scene.
No.
I just watched it and interpreted it. You know what? I'll tell you this. Director Tim Burton and Paul Reubens may be the author of that film. They may have created that vision. But I, as an audience member, my interpretation of that scene is just as valid as theirs. So if I say he is pointing at his dick and then his butt, that's how the art manifested itself to me. Wow. It is completely,
that's the Mandela effect is what you're talking about, Justin. And eventually, people in the future will be like, oh, yeah, of course he got his dick out in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And people will be like, I remember that. And then people watch the movie and go, you know, a fun fact, he never actually says I'm a primo fuckboy in the movie.
That's don't spread misinformation, Travis. He did just say that. I literally just watched it. So.
Do you guys find it ironic that in the movie he gets out of trouble by showing his dick, but in real life he got into a lot of trouble by getting his dick out?
Well, yeah, it's because he ran into some trouble and he was like, let me get my dick out. But that's not, you're not in the fictional, this isn't Cool World, Pee-wee. You're in the real meat space.
This is Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. If you can't get out of a cartoon, you can't get out of a cartoon scrape by showing us your colon. It's not how it works out here in the physical realm.
Paul. They're like, I can't believe we got tricked by that. We should still arrest him, right? Like, we got to cover this up.
Yeah. He's just spitting. Not a lot of people know that. He's getting a speeding ticket and got his dick out. And he's like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep, that you're free to go.
Tequila.
Wait, let's go to the money zone.
I want to tell you folks about MeUndies. Most comfortable underwear you'll ever put down there. If you want to cover up what your mama gave you and then shake it in a way that's going to be supportive but also cool and wick moisture away, you're going to want to turn to MeUndies. They're the best underwear on the planet. And they're offering right now 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. If you don't love them, your first pair... yeah, it's free.
I don't even know why we read that sentence. Cause it's a fantasy fiction that anybody would ever put these on. This wonderful. It's like
it could say we'll buy your first pair for $20,000.
Yeah, we'll buy you a house if you hate them.
Yeah, that's not what they're saying, but they could because no one will ever do that.
Travis, you want to tell us about the other one?
I do. We also want to talk about Basecamp. We've mentioned Basecamp a couple times on the show. Basically, how it works is, you know, in this digital age, everyone doesn't always work in the same office anymore. Sometimes you're spread throughout the world, and it can get hard to get on the same page when it comes to completing projects. Well, with Basecamp makes it easier to wrangle people with different roles, responsibilities, and objectives towards their common goal, and then lets you finish that project together. Everybody gets on the same page. Deborah over in Montana doesn't get to, like, say, like, oh, I didn't know is this when it was due?
Like, God, yeah, Deborah, get it together.
We have a
cloud platform for this, Deborah.
Basecamp runs on the cloud, has secure servers, so you don't have to mess around with anything technical. And if you are a listener of My Brother Meet, which of course you are because you're hearing this right now, you can try Basecamp absolutely free for 2 months by going to basecamp.com/mybrother. Get your entire team on the same page, get that project done, and then like move on to joining a biker gang.
Deborah has just got her head in the clouds. She's not using the cloud properly. Do you guys think that's definitely been a Dilbert cartoon about like somebody saying like, use the cloud, I've got my head in the clouds, and then they spill coffee on their dick?
And they point at it, and the bikers leave them alone.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys about Zvenny Baby. That's Svenny Baby. It's a progressive pop band from Dallas, Texas, whose album features a 3-part rock opera and songs based on the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. Don't mind if I do. Very much. Thank you, please. The album is available now for download at their website, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and Spotify. You can go to ZvennyBabyMusic.com. I have a hard time believing they couldn't secure ZvennyBaby.com itself, but that's not the address. It's ZvennyBabyMusic.com to download Zvenny Baby's debut album, Painting Pictures.
Sorry, their what album?
Their debut album. That's what I said. Painting Pictures, which I will reiterate includes songs based on the Dark Tower. So I'm like really stoked. I'm totally gonna go listen to that because cause like wind.
Here's a song from it right now. Monster House, it's a monster house. Everyone look out for the monster house. And then here's another song. Oh no, it's a crab monster. He's got poisonous claws and he's gonna come bite my fingers off.
That I got another one for you. Was that Stephen King? I thought it was Stephen King. He wrote this book, but now he's in the book.
I haven't gotten that far.
Fuck.
Griffin, is the next message for
when us. Does that happen? I'm only on the fourth book.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
You gotta
there.
Push. Listen, everybody gets hung up on Wizard and Glass.
That's because it's a shitty, shitty 14,000 page book.
It's not
actually,
shitty. It's a
it's
great
actually
book.
A very great book. It's just a real derailment of the momentum.
It seems to have nothing to do with
that
the last
seems
four books.
To have
it
nothing
literally
to do with
goes
the three
from
prior.
We're
to
on
it.
A train that's gonna explode unless we solve this mystery. To hold up. Before we get back to that, though, before we resolve that situation, here's 950 pages about schoolboys.
It is kind of a crazy thing to be like, cliffhanger. And before we get back to that, let me just read you a quick book. Here's just one book. If you could just read this book.
I wrote
we'll
a prequel
right
to my
it.
Own book. Here's some fan fiction I wrote about my own story.
I got a message here.
Wizard Glass rules, though. It's just like...
Is, except for how bad time. It is. Here's a message.
Sometimes I think about the music, the movie they're making at Dark Tower, and I make up a trailer to it in my head.
Holy
when
shit.
I'm bored. It's always set to Someone Saved My Life Tonight by Elton John, which, Griffin, you also probably don't understand why, but like fully. Think about how good of a trailer that'd be.
I have a message here for Rosh, and it's from Margo. Two baller-ass names. Margo says to Rosh, I wanted to say, or rather the brothers to say, thank you for the best year of my life. I can't have imagined anything better. Thank you for the endless laughs, including introducing me to this podcast and fun. You are the best friend and boyfriend anyone can ask for. Happy anniversary. Love, Margo.
That's lovely.
That's lovely. You know what I love about that? Two things. I love love in any form. All forms of love are wonderful and beautiful. And I also love that they're spreading that love is actually benefiting us, actually putting money in my pocket. And that's the best kind of love that there is. I know I just said all love is equal, but the love that helps us bump that download count is probably
absolutely.
Better than
the most beautiful, perfect love.
Yeah. But anyway, happy love, Rosh and Margo.
We also have a message for my friend and yours, Sean Foreman. Sean is amazing. He's got a special message from his best gal and darling treasure of a wife, who is also lovely. And Melanie says to Sean, happy 30th bidet to the handsomest, most hirsute husband a girl could ask for. May all your days be filled with frolicking Sylvie dogs, your nights danker than Danky Kang, and your thoughts as deep as Chicago-style pizza. The brothers and I raise our glasses of Powerade to you, good sir. Cheers, your sweet, sweet, loving woman.
Aw, happy 30th, Sean.
And here's a twist. Sean independently also reached out to me and would like to wish Melanie a happy anniversary. So I figured I'd just tie those two together. It's kind of a gift of the Magi scenario, but everybody gets something.
Yeah, so then yes. Not like the gift of the Magi at all.
The gift of the Magi too, this time for sure.
But that one's just called presents. It's not a gift of, it doesn't deserve, it's not part of that parable. It's just, I gave you a present.
And the second one, he gets her, he buys her a hairdryer, and she's like, and she got him like an iPad. And she's like, what are you doing?
Just give me something. How did you fuck this up so bad the last time. Just give me something completely unrelated to the thing that I obviously.
You know I am bald. You know I'm bald.
It's ridiculous, Mark. It's ridiculous.
Especially when I told you what I wanted. I wanted a tennis bracelet. A tennis bracelet.
A tennis bracelet.
Not I didn't chop off my hands to get you this iPad. Get me a fucking tennis bracelet.
I don't have wrists anymore. It's just elbows straight to my hands. I look like some sort of turkey woman.
Well, here we are. Quick press conference time.
Fuck.
Fuck, everyone.
We come to you live from the McElroy Brothers Studios.
In
beautiful Burbank.
If it was live, then we would have had this shit dead to rights on tape, but then we lost it.
Did you yesterday feel a disturbance in the comedy energy? Did you feel a great shuddering of bits of precious finite goofs being lost to the ether?
I picture it like in Minority Report when the three people in the pool like sense a murder coming. Where just suddenly everybody starts shaking and going, the jokes are dying.
Yeah. Every listener of a Bim Bam, a red ball appeared on their doorstep. And when they picked it up and looked at it, it just said, some dick jokes. Because they got killed and we lost them today. Justin's recording of the second half of the podcast got
this one. This
vanished.
One is not on me for a change. This is definitely on Audacity.
And Teresa asked me this morning, she's like, how does that happen? And my response was, well, here's the thing about computers. I don't know.
He like, literally, it's inexplicable. If you're a data expert, the end of the podcast was fine for him. The beginning of the podcast was fine for him, which you just heard. You just heard the first half of our original recording, and now here we are back again because he lost like 8 minutes in there somewhere, and shit sucked. Shit sucked, everyone. Okay, well, I guess let's do it again. One more again.
Same goofs again.
Well, not the same goofs, different goofs, but...
No, I'm doing the same goofs. I'm not writing more material. I write all my material. Did I tell you guys that?
I didn't know that.
What question did we do last time that got lost to the ether?
The note on the desk.
See, that one, let me tell you all how it went last time. That wasn't gold. It was all of us got really indignantly angry at this one.
It was angry, yeah. So let's see how we react this time.
Okay, last time it was indignant anger. And then this time, who knows? It could be joyous laughter, love, and acceptance.
Don't cry for that show. That show's gone. That show never existed. This is the new show.
That's an alternate timeline.
Yep, absolutely. Maybe your life would have been changed by that. I have no idea. You have to deal with this. One of my coworkers just transferred to a different office.
See, you didn't say transferred last time, so it's already really it's like super different.
Goof. The day after he left, I found a note on my desk from him saying how he was always too tongue-tied around me to say anything, but he thinks that I'm beautiful and wished he could have gotten to know me better. I'm not interested in him romantically, but I do think he's a nice guy and appreciate the guts it took to even leave the note. Read none. I want to thank him. That's my editorialization. I want to thank him for the compliment, but will it sound at all sincere when it's followed by, but I'm just not interested?
Yes.
Would it be better if I said nothing at all? That's from Secretly Admired in St. Louis. Good news. I'm still angry.
Yeah.
It still sucks.
Me too.
If anything, I'm more angry, for I have not had my breakfast.
It's just like, let's cut to the quick. Okay. Let's not beat it. There was a lot of bush beating last time.
We talked about it for an hour and a half yesterday.
I wrote about that in my diary at night, my post-show diary. Felt like there was a lot of bush beating. Hope recording gets eaten by Jesus.
Well, here
would like another shot.
This shouldn't be on you. This sucks. It's like it's such a weird way to go about this, like, it's that you say that it took guts to leave the note, and maybe that's true to a small amount, but it would have taken it took significantly less guts than just like walking up to you and talking to you in the first place. And if this was like a Jim Pam situation where you guys were like fast friends and you actually talked and hung out and stuff, that would be cool. But this is just like a weird mash note from somebody who like literally didn't give you the time of day until it was time for him to bounce. And then he was like, hey, by the way, I always thought you were a pretty boy. And then a ripcord pulled him out the window.
The good news is
what he air hooked. He sky hooked out.
What you have to do, your responsibility in this situation, is nothing.
Yeah. Nail.
Because like Nail. All you, this is as far as you need to go. Unfold note. Read. Oh, that's nice. Garbage.
Garbage. Because giant blunt.
Because if you, basically what this person has tried to do, whether they realize it or not, is say, I'm going to put the onus on you to make contact because I'm a chicken shit.
That's absolutely true. This is where like infinity romantic comedies have ruined people's perception of how this shit works, because this guy is expecting you'll read the note and be like, really? Devin? You?
All this I always time? Felt the like, same, Devin.
Yeah, she'll like jump at like run through the rain to like the other office across town to like, please don't do this. I've always loved you too from afar.
But now you just chase him through the rain and be like, thank you, but I am not interested in you romantically. Good
I
sir.
Do not want that dick.
Here is an umbrella. I am not interested in that dick, but do take this umbrella because you got to keep that dick dry.
Here's the way that this works in the real world. How it should work is you look across the office, you see Susan like first time and you're like, oh, she's cute. And you walk over and you say, hey, I'm Devin. Is this your first day of the office? Yeah, it's great. Do you want to like grab a drink after work? And I can tell you all about how things
work
around
here. Well,
don't
do that. No, don't do that off the jump.
Maybe not first day, but like if you like her, ask her out.
Your coworkers, though, that might be illegal.
So,
what if? Oh God, we didn't even see. It's good. We should take a second pass at every question because we don't get to that erudite nug until our second go round. What if it's like illegal? What if the HR rep is like, no?
That's
kissy.
What makes it sexy.
I'm fair. That's what makes it sexy, right? I do think that that would have been noted in the question. Had that been the case?
Hey, did y'all just kiss?
No. Thomas, we didn't.
You guys stink like kissing.
What is that?
Did you kiss during the prank?
I smell kiss juice all over you.
There's kiss juice all over
you. Hey, listen, mother slappers. I just went in the bathroom and some reeks of kisses in there.
Now, I will say something did occur to me upon this second attempt that did not occur to me yesterday. She says, you know what? I shouldn't gender her. I don't know. Man, woman, whatever. This question asker says, I think that he's a nice guy and I appreciate the guts. Although he does say beautiful, which would be kind of an odd.
Is it beautiful? Well, David Bowie's a beautiful man.
Fair enough, yeah. I do think he's a nice guy and appreciate the guts it took to leave the note, but I'm not interested in him romantically. We yesterday chastised the note leaver, but it sounds like they kind of nailed it. Like, it sounds like they did have a correct read on the situation as it stands. Like, I do need to get this off my chest, and I do recognize that this is not a thing that is happening. So I'm doing this due diligence to just get this out into the universe, because, like, my read on the situation, which, it, as it turns out, is 100% on the money, is that you do not desire a further relationship with me.
Oh, so he's a precog.
I'm saying there's a lot of precognitive shit going on.
But no, Justin, it's a self-fulfilling.
God, wouldn't love just be so much easier? Matters of the heart be so much easier if there were little red and brown balls telling you.
But the problem is this is a self-fulfilling precog. Because basically what he did was he made himself like, she wants a dude, or they want everybody wants someone who's willing to like put at least enough skin in the game.
Fight for me, Devin.
Say words out loud. Say words. Don't be a paper warrior. Fucking say words out loud to make things happen. Because those are the kinds of people that go, you know what? Sure, you risked a little bit. I'm willing to see how this goes.
You gotta risk it for the biscuit.
Exactly. You don't get that biscuit for being a paper warrior.
He's trying to get a biscuit risk free, and that's it's gonna be too hard. It's gonna be a 2 day old biscuit. It's gonna be crunchy and unpleasant.
This is what you do. This is the time you use that note. You write a note that says, look up. And they look up and you're standing there and you say, hey, that's okay. A little creepy, but at least like if that's your intro, that's your plan, go for it. But this like, I'm a ghost. I left the office. And now, only now in my will do you find out I liked you. Like that's not the way to go.
Here's the reason that you should not respond to this. Because if you respond to it and say, hey, listen, I think you're a nice guy. This is a really brave gesture, but I'm just not that interested. Then this guy, what this guy like will learn from this is like, wow, that was a good approach. Wasn't the right person, but maybe next time when I transfer offices, there'll be somebody here where that seed will find purchase.
And he'll like post that on the message boards and be like, it almost worked this time, fellas. Next time.
Listen, colleagues, no risk required. It's a biscuit parade out there. How go nuts. Just reach out your hands and run through the streets. Grab as many biscuits as you can take. It's just insane.
I'm just irritated because this is a person who is generating their own missed connection. They're like, this isn't a missed connection. You were there every day.
Yeah.
Like, they were there every day. Just risk it.
Yeah.
And then, perhaps, people think that just because they risk it, they're guaranteed a biscuit. That's inaccurate.
No.
There's no guaranteed biscuit.
What?
There's no guaranteed biscuit.
Right, that's right. All non-riskers don't get biscuits, but not all riskers get biscuits, and that's just how the biscuit, that's how a cookie crumbles.
A biscuit in Harbor is safe, and a biscuit on the water gets soggy, but sometimes you want a soggy bit. I lost the thread.
It like soaked with seawater? That would be fucking disgusting.
We're not saying that this is easy. Like, it's obviously not easy. Like, if I wasn't happily married right now, and I had to be in this game again, I would be, this might be me, like, and back in my 20s.
Oh, you know? It
like,
was me. I was this dude. Terrifying. I was note guy, and like, I burned you a CD. Oh, what's that in the liners? It's a confession of my love. I'm gone, though, so hopefully we'll run into each other tomorrow, and you can tell me you liked it. Bye. Like, Travis-shaped hole in the wall.
This has nothing to do with, like, any sort of, like, alpha male friend zone garbage. Like, we're not like it's not that, like, I'm just the nice guy in the corner and she doesn't, like, I'm not talking about that. Like, that's a whole other weird subset of this question. What I'm talking about is just having basic human communication skills. And I know it's intimidating, and like, right now there's probably some of you on the phone like, hey, this is really insensitive to those of us who can't do. You can't today. You can tomorrow, maybe.
And that's the
thing.
Get on
that horse and ride. Risk that biscuit.
A lot of that, like, nice guy friendship, friend zone bullshit comes from stuff like this, where, like, if you're not, and I'm sorry to, like, put baby in a corner and call people out, but, like, if you're not willing to risk it for the biscuit, like, how do you expect them to be like, okay, well, I guess I'm willing to do the work and reach out to you now? Like, what do you think you're putting forth in a letter that says, I was too scared to talk to you, but we should totally date now? Like, that's not a good impression. That's not a good look.
What is the future of that relationship look like? Okay, madam, that sounds like a fine order. And sir, what will you have? Oh, you're standing up from the table. You're leaving a note and you're walking away from the table. I'm sorry. He does this every time. He wants a chicken parmesan. You don't have to read the stupid note.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it is people will respect. Even if they don't want to go out on a date with you, even if they're not interested in you, they'll at least respect that in this day and age of texting and, like, messaging and fucking note leavers, that if you're like, hey, this is me, a human being standing in front of you, I would like to ask you on a date. No? Okay, great. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye.
I don't even have a problem with the note if it's like, if you're still at the office. If you're like, literally, like, I get really tongue-tied whenever I try to talk to you, and I just wanted to try to say to you, like, hey, I'd like to go out sometime and maybe get to know you and get a bit more comfortable. I'm fine with even that. Own your shit. Like, if your shit is that you can't, like, you do get tongue-tied in these situations, like, own it. Just don't, like, leave a note and then parachute out. It's insane. Nothing will come of that.
Hey,
and if you make something come of that, you are perpetuating this insane strategy to relationships.
It worked for that lady in Love Actually. She left a note. And she's that like, if I can't say it at Christmas, why can I say it? I'm yours, David.
And it's now me. Let me take you on a tour through your past. Long past? Your past, Stephen.
My side of house rule is number one, I love you.
I don't know why Griffin was doing Michael Caine as the British woman, but
that's the only. So my British woman accent is just an upscale Michael Caine. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes, please.
I just want to put a button in that real quick. We're not chastising anybody. Everybody's got their shit. God knows I have mine when it comes to, like, social situations. We're trying to inspire you. Don't live life on the sidelines.
Well, it's not chastising. It's like it's the truth. And what sucks is that if you do stuff like this, where it's like I left a note and they didn't answer, it's just gonna make it harder for you. Like you're just gonna be
absolutely.
Like, well, this fucking nothing works. Nothing works because you try to think that can't work. You know what I mean?
Well, and what it is it's this actualization. It's this like you tell yourself that it's a romantic gesture when really what it is you tried to find like the easiest. Least scary thing, that's not a romantic gesture. If like you waited until you weren't around, left a note that they didn't have to respond to your face, that's not a romantic gesture. Is I did something risky and it didn't work, or it did work
and I got that's me romantic. That bisky.
That's a romantic gesture. So don't just make sure you're not convincing yourself that you're doing something romantic when really you're just looking for an easy out and hoping they'll do all the work.
As long as we're putting buttons in things, I do want to stress that this whole time, I've not been referring to women as biscuits.
No.
Right. That much is clear, right? Because I don't want people to think that I'm some sort of weird, like, misogynist that doesn't, like, get it. Like, I'm a misogynist who's just, like, trying to get things going. Like, hey, guys, what if we called all women biscuits, right?
No, you're talking like, about more of like the ephemeral, metaphorical, eternal biscuit.
A desirable thing.
Yes.
Which ironically enough, for me, is a biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
I could go for a biscuit right now. I'd crush a biscuit.
I would ruin a biscuit right now. I would
Griffin, you got a Yahoo for
I
us?
Would devastate a biscuit. Yeah, I got a Yahoo.
I would ruin a biscuit. That biscuit wouldn't be able to look me in the eye afterwards.
Here's a Yahoo that was sent in by Game Recognized Game Rachel Sperling. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Debbie, who asks, can I bring frozen pizzas in my carry-on or hold in hand?
Wait. Is the question like, can I bring frozen pizzas that are still frozen, right? Or can I prepare a frozen pizza as a mid-flight snack and bring it upon the plane with me? Because this not this form, but it is a question that I've often asked of, like, is it cool to bring this hamburger that I bought in the airport on the plane with me?
Like, if you bought it in the airport, yes, it's fair game. If you made the hamburger at home and then you brought it, or worse yet, you bring with you a patty and some iceberg lettuce and some tomatoes individually in their own three-ounce bags, and then you assemble it on the plane and do a little bit of prep work there and do a little bit of bam! Kick it up a notch there.
Well, hold on,
spicy rub that you
now. What if you take it to a full show, right? And you're like Benihana-ing it up over there, because you're like flipping the tomato in the air and catching it on the burger, and everyone around you is like, "Ooh, he's a real burger professional."
Ooh, look at that burger boy.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that they will not allow you to bring a Japanese griddle on the plane. That's
have
a guarantee.
You asked? Did you look?
I can check the TSA guidelines, but I'm pretty sure Japanese griddles are like number one on their things, because like you put that in the hands of a splinter agent, and I don't want to be
a lone wolf.
I don't want to be dour, but you put it in the hands of somebody with something to prove.
You know, we all know the regulations about liquor when you're going on a flight, and we've learned to build our lives around those small bottles that we can carry with us on planes. But what I don't think has been addressed fully by TSA guidelines, and what I'd be interested in testing is, could you just bring a pizza? Like, obviously you're not buying a frozen pizza in the airport. That's insane. That doesn't happen. I've never even seen a freezer in an airport. So, like, obviously you're not doing that. So this person is saying they're going to just have a they're going to have their suitcase, they're going to have their carry-on bag, they're going to have a tombstone, just a fully frozen, like, ready to cook tombstone.
Yeah,
is that getting through the TSA?
Justin,
is
are you talking about like just going and like grabbing a hot and ready and like going through security?
Yes.
I can't see why they would stop you.
They can't stop you, right?
This brings up another great question. Wow, this question's really splintering off into a beautiful question tree. But if I take my Proactiv, which is a 3-step topical application that I use to fight my battle against bad skin every day of my life. But Griffin, you have great skin. I know, it's the Proactiv. Me and Mandy Moore are on that same tip. If I freeze that shit, can I bring as much as I want? If I freeze it in a giant ice cube and then I bring it, on a sled,
What if it's an extra saucy pizza, and after it defrosts, you wring it out in the bathroom, and you squeeze out 4 ounces of marinara? Like, good job, I guess. That's kind of like, you really skirted our nation's security for travel.
But then they would update it, wouldn't they? And then they'd be like, no solids over 3 ounces. Like, what?
Nothing too saucy.
No frozen saucy boys. We've been very antagonistic towards this person, but is it possible they're going someplace where pizza is outlawed? Maybe they're a pizza outlaw.
Like the state of Tennessee.
Like the state of Tennessee, where pizza is outlawed.
And only outlaws have pizza.
Only outlaws have pizza.
They never talk about that, but that's fact. If you outlaw pizza, only outlaws will have pizza.
That's a good point. Our war on pizza has been a colossal failure. Yeah,
there's more pizza on the streets now than there was in 1998 when we began.
I don't even know what Tennessee's trying to achieve with that law.
If you're bringing your pizza either on your carry-on or just literally holding it in your hand, that is not good smuggling technique.
No,
Griffin, you're getting it all wrong. It's so blatant that there's no way they'll suspect you. Like the TSA agents would be like, well. He wouldn't just carry the pizza on the plane. He's got to have like shirts folded up in that box, right? Like,
I mean, yes, Travis. Except when you touch down in Chattanooga, you better believe the pizza police are going to be on you like instantly.
Well, by that point, you better be smuggling it in your tummy because that's a solid like 3 hour flight from me. Like,
no, they'll know just, that scanner that you go through where they make you put your arms up like you're doing the YMCA. That will detect pizza in your tummy.
And listen, we all want to walk around Rock City munching on some pizza. We all want to do that. But you know what? Sometimes the law is the law, and it's not okay to eat pizza in Tennessee. And I get that. Even though Rock City is the perfect place to consume pizza, we all know that. It's in the guidebooks from pre-1998, before pizza was outlawed. But unfortunately, the governor just won't allow you to have pizza in Tennessee. And that's fact. Look it up.
The most annoying part about the pizza ban is that you could still totally get pizza when you're in Tennessee. You just have to know like the right places to go. There are these doors, you knock on them, and there's like a secret pizza club. They call them Speak Cheesies. And you just go in and you can get that pizza, like prohibited pizza, no problem. Any topic. There's just like a guy like named Jimmy Knuckles at the pizza bar.
But the problem is, Justin, when you do that, you know you're just contributing to like the organized, you know, pizza families and like Calzone, and you're just like giving money back to the evil, right? That's why Tennessee is going down the tubes.
Calzone is how he got it in. We just folded him over.
Hey, let me see that sandwich. It looks like you got cheese, sauce, and meat in there.
No, it's a calzone, officer. We just unfold the calzones.
They're all just exploiting the calzone loophole.
Oh, man.
Tennessee
used to be so great.
Kyle Kinane has a great bit on his album where he talks about like that he was flying next to this dude who brought just like a plastic bag full of waffles and syrup, just like loose waffles and syrup, and he's like eating them out of the bag. And that's what this sounds like to me. Like, you're gonna take a frozen pizza, which I think is pre-cooked, allow it to thaw throughout the flight, so like as you're like doing the descent, you're just munching on some soggy defrosted pizza.
I once sat next to a woman who had a tub. This is true. Rachel was with me. We were flying next to this woman who had a tub, a country crock tub, only there was not country crock inside the tub. It was some sort of crazy tuna salad, and she was dipping some wheat thins into it. This was the flight before
our flight. She brought that through security.
Yeah. This was our flight before our flight to Japan, and I was like, if it was the flight to Japan, I would have called the air marshal. I would have literally ripped open the emergency exit and kicked this woman out of the plane, Con Air style, because that's like a 10-hour flight, and I'm not gonna have an intercontinental tuna fish adventure.
You kick that tuna fish idiot out of the plane. You just look at everybody else and like, no ticket. And you'll be like, we love it.
And I'll also be like, no ticket, but also she did have tuna fish salad, and oh my God, sweet God, it was like tuna fish and just a really fragrant onion.
Because even if she eats every bit of it in the first hour, it's a linger.
It's in the play. It's a self-contained system. You're not getting additional oxygen.
You're recycling tuna air for 9 hours while everybody watches Twilight New Moon on the back of their seats.
There's like that. It's like that one restaurant in the airport that only serves the stinkiest salads, and I don't know where it is, but some people do because they're bringing them on the plane.
This is this flight is going to be on an American Airlines Stink Bullet 727. It captures and contains the stink, and we have installed special fans to really circulate it. So if any person on the plane is eating, some sort of spiced wilted greens, that smell's going to be just everywhere. It's going to be like
please enjoy Norbit on a loop for the next 8 hours.
It's going to smell kind of like some sort of airborne nursing home. It's going to be really great.
Thanks for listening to our show.
What's your time? Time check. Where you at?
Time check. I'm at 27 minutes and 15 seconds in 3, 2, 1, mark.
Yep. Okay, we're good.
Cool.
We did it. We made it through without you shitting the bed.
It really wasn't my fault this time. It's Audacity just gobbling up. Like, Audacity was editing me. Like, do you realize that? Audacity's like, this part isn't funny enough.
Not today, Junior.
Not today. I'm not putting this in the podcast.
We want to say thanks again to MeUndies, who are dedicated to offering you the most comfortable underwear. If you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, you can get 20% off your first order. I will be buying another round soon until eventually my hope is to have 30 days of MeUndies every day for a month.
Do you do laundry once a month?
No, but that is my goal, to be able to just rotate through. You don't want to like have like two pairs that you're washing and wearing every 2 days. You'll wear them out. I want enough that I can rotate in a new cycle.
I get it. Let's see. Let's burn. We did all of this work.
Bear with us. We have some fairly important stuff in the housekeeping, but we'll move through it as quick as we can.
So we got the LA Podfest in September 18th through 20th. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so we're doing that. We're going to do a live at Bim Bam and the first ever live Adventure Zone. If you're in LA, get tickets at lapodfest.com. Come see us. There's a bunch of other great shows. If you don't live in LA, you can watch us and all the other great shows streaming live. You can get a $25 pass to watch all of the shows that you want during LA Podfest streaming live. But if you use the coupon code BROTHER or ZONE when you're getting that ticket, you can save $5 and also put a few bucks into our pocket, which we certainly appreciate. So it'll be $20 total, and you can stream all those shows. Again, go to lapodfest.com. You can get the streaming tickets there. Use the coupon code BROTHER or ZONE.
And it's archived for like a month. So even if you're not available on the day, go ahead and buy it now before you forget, and then you'll have a whole month to check everything out.
We have live shows coming up later this week. Holy shit. We're going to be in the Pacific Northwest. We're going to be in Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver. Portland sold out. I'm sorry. We had a few tickets go up last week, and the venue didn't put them up when we thought they were going to, and so there was a whole kerfuffle. We're really sorry if you tried to get tickets for that and couldn't because of the delay. Seattle and Vancouver, there are still tickets available for you. Portland, you can just go up to Seattle. It's pretty close. We're making the drive.
Portland, I don't want to encourage too many people to do this because there's no guarantee on this, but you could always try like standby and hope that like people bought tickets but don't show up. That happens from time to time. So you can come down to the venue night of and try to get on a standby list. But once again, there's no guarantee that will happen.
Seattle and Vancouver, here is a guarantee, though. Go to bit.ly/MBMBAM Seattle or bit.ly/van MBMBAM, and you can get tickets for the shows. And those shows are this coming Saturday for Seattle and Sunday for Vancouver.
If you're going to be at the show, start sending in questions now.
Yes, please.
Put Portland, Seattle, or Vancouver into the subject line so we know which show you're going to be at. We'll also be doing like live questions at the shows from audience members. So if you want to, you can like come up on stage, but just remember, like, keep it short, no bummers, and just be ready to go.
I need my Yahoo Warriors too. Drew, Rachel, Zoe, Ira, the whole crew. I need all y'all.
Jacob Locker
comes out of a retirement.
Oh. Yeah, I need like 25. It's a tall order. So please send those in this week, and I'll start going through them. We have the Bim Bam Game Jam going on right now. It's mbmjam.com for more details on that. It's going to run, I think, for the next couple weeks, and people can make games based on their favorite bits, and I'm looking forward to it. I think Drew Davenport is making something in RPG Maker for the original PlayStation, which I am so happy about. I've still got my... what is it? My card shark? What was it? Oh, shit. I bought a thing. No, it was like a thing that you could like plug your memory card into and alter data on your computer, and I would use it to download RPG Maker's quote levels like off of the internet. Man, I was a huge nerd. If you want a spot in the money zone, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Be aware we have a bit of a backup, so we can't like do a birthday message for you next month.
So yeah, if you think you've got something you would like us to talk about in like 4 months, 3 months,
yeah,
get it on it now. Go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
And while you're at MaximumFun.org, check out all the other shows, the other Max Fun shows. We got Judge John Hodgman, Stop Podcasting Yourself, The Flop House, Lady to Lady, One Bad Mother, a lot of really great shows, all there.
Thanks to John Roderick and Long Winters for the use of their theme song. It's a departure off the album Put Into the Days to Bed. You should buy that album. I want to listen to it.
Yeah, I agree. Final Yahoo.
Hit me.
This Final Yahoo was sent in by Zoe Kinski, climbing that ladder. Thank you, Zoe Kinski. It's by Yahoo Answers user Neohio Independent, who asks, what kind of situations are going on in CNN's Situation Room?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
God, put it in the can. I don't want to do this episode ever again.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.